Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, and RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that actually provides the tangible solution that will get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. And oh, by the way, here's the big hint. This is the Thomas Jefferson, James Madison solution that everybody has been missing for 200 years. And so if you want to go through my podcast, you can find those on reclaimingtherepublic.org, Red State Talk Radio podcasts. And in those podcasts, I actually go through all the evidence and I will go through it again. We'll look at it from different perspectives. And the podcast you want to read or look for, because I have a little description, so read the descriptions on the podcast, go pull up the Kentucky Resolution podcast. As well as the, I don't think I've read Federalist Paper number 49. I've meant to, and I'm probably caught on that highway to hell of good intentions with no exit. I mean to, and I eventually will get there. I will actually read the Federalist Paper number 49, because that actually provides the insights that came from Jefferson's book, Notes on the State of Virginia. Anyway, as you know, this is the only show that is providing this insight, and that's probably because no other show really cares to solve the problem. There's a lot of money, folks, to be made with problems to be, you know, with these problems to continue. And as long as these problems exist, you're going to tune in because you're going to get frustrated and you're going to want to know what the heck they're doing. And what you're tuning into is just watching that train wreck. That's all you're doing. And that is it'll consume your entire life watching this nation actually go into the ditch and actually capitulate. If you want a different outcome, then this is the show where you'll find that different outcome, because we are actually providing you the tangible solution of things that we absolutely have to do to getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. The phone number to call is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. And so let me kind of leap forward a little bit, because I'm going to, as I told everybody, I'm going to bypass a lot of the stuff that I was kind of giving everybody reasons why you want to download the podcast and all that, that typical introduction that I did for the first 5 months or so as I kind of rolled through different parts of it. Not going to be doing that so much anymore, but I will continue to grovel, because I think groveling and humility is always good. I can't do this alone. And oh, by the way, I don't think the good Lord wants me to do this alone. I think he expects all of us to kind of, like back in the framers' days, he expected them to be participants in their outcome, that he's not going to necessarily save us from this mess. It's not his job. I think it's his job to, you know, save souls and those types of things. But he did give us, and he granted and blessed us with the best republic ever created. So we have some responsibility of kind of trying to protect it and save it. At least that's my perspective. But if you have a computer, if you have a phone, you have basic software like Excel, spreadsheets, PDF, the ability to generate PDFs, those types of things, then you are more than capable of actually helping. So all you got to do is send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and you will find just how easy it would be to help be a part of the solution instead of continuing to be a part of the problem. And so as we move forward, one of the things I also like to do is I like to look through the news. And well, there's just a variety of all sorts of really important things that we need to know about, like Serena and that line judge at the tennis match, and those things are really important for, you know, us to get through and to preserve our liberty, isn't it? But as we move forward and as I look through the news, the important thing that I am looking for every day is there a sign that the federal government is going to actually unleash and undo and get rid of some of these usurped unconstitutional powers that they've assumed over the past two centuries? Is it possible that they will disband their role, responsibility, and power that they've usurped, or are they going to continue? And as I see it, there is no sign. At least I cannot predict a day when they will ever want to do that. It is almost like some animals, like a coyote or what have you, will gnaw its leg off to get out of a trap. And that is self-preservation. There is nothing that is threatening the federal government to where it needs to preserve itself in doing something like that. So it's just not going to happen. They may try to do that when the states actually stand up. I actually believe that they'll try to do some things similar to that, where they will try to, you know, play the stunt. Oh, you know, just like a little child, when a child is behaving poorly and the parent says, hey, don't do that, don't do that. And then when the parent finally stands up to go over there to grab the child starts behaving better. They at least create the persona that they're being good. And so I would expect that the federal government would say, well, okay, you got us there, and we're going to be good from now on. And no, it's not about being good from now on. It's about doing what you're supposed to do and stop doing all these things that you shouldn't be doing, because they will try to continue to do those things. And so anyway, I can't see any sign of that. So that's why you actually have to start realizing that it's going to take you and all of us, literally all of us, to be a part of this solution. This is not going to be something that, you know, we can, all we need is a really rich daddy to kind of pay for this and do all of it. Nope. It is actually going to require work out of all of us. We're all going to have to contribute to some degree. And as I say, one of the ways that, and I thank a lot of you, every one of you that are tuning in, I correct myself, I thank you for spreading the word and letting those other patriots that you know on your email list and what have you, Facebook, however you connect with your like-minded friends. I appreciate the fact that you are sharing this information and getting this show out there, because we have been growing, and I really appreciate that. Because to me, that means that people are starting to get the word and understanding that, hey, there is something that's actually a little different, and it's actually providing a solution. Go figure, you know, how good would that be? Anyway, let me kind of jump forward, because I want to get into, and I want to close on this concept of the guarantee clause. But in the news, I thought it was very interesting. I don't know, I mentioned this before, that Hungary has actually gone down this path of really bucking the EU and the EU system. They've kind of recently, I think it was in the last year, they defined themselves as a Christian nation. They also stopped taking in migrants, or actually very specifically Islamists, that are being brought into the EU. And so Viktor Orban, who has been defiant to the EU and the EU's parliament, they have been, actually the EU parliament has been actually considering sanctions and going after Hungary and Viktor for their lack of toting the line. And bottom line, he's basically coming right out and saying, hey, Hungary is going to get punished for not being a country of migrants like the rest of Europe. And so it's interesting how intolerant they are if you try to buck the system. And it's only beginning, folks. We're actually starting to see just how that pans out and just how intolerant the left is. I can tell you, you can look through history if you want to see how intolerant the left is. If you could be possibly perceived as a threat, then you are a problem and they need to get rid of you. Now, I've mentioned this before, that there's these things supposedly called FEMA camps, that there's these big, huge federal detention centers that are completely empty. I think there's one in Montana. I remember somebody was pointing to a site that had a map of all of these things, and you could probably go out there and find these things. But the question is, why do they have these things? Is that because they know that there's going to be people that they will not be able to convince or get on board with the system? And so they've already created their camps of intolerance where they will not tolerate you and they have to get rid of you. Just something to think about. One more thing in the news, and I will, because I know I'm coming up on a hard break. I find it interesting that there is a world of leaders out there that are trying to go and make it illegal for manufacturers and governments and so forth to actually create robots or killer robots that are going to go out and, you know, like the Terminator type of products out there. And as you can tell, I'm at a hard break, but I just find it interesting that we actually have to get into this space because people are actually looking at trying to create these killer robots, bots, or what have you. And that's just how, I guess, evil society and man can be. Anyway, I'll be right back after word from these sponsors. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Now, I've talked about Google. I've talked about Amazon, Apple, the social medias, and so forth. And yesterday, I believe I kind of expounded a little bit on virtue in politics, and so forth. And I think I've even, you know, alluded to the fact that there is obviously no virtue within corporations. Corporations are in lockstep with this secular, godless, progressive agenda. And I will tell you that any large national, or I should say global corporation, because I worked for one in the defense contracting or government contracting arena, and those are large global companies. It was a BAE, or it was it, I used to work for BAE Systems, and I used to work for Marconi GDE Systems, and so forth. And when I was in the Marine Corps, they kind of, paved that way for me with my clearances and all of that to be able to get into that type of business. But I will tell you that even these defense contracting companies, whether they were on board with the agenda or not, during the Obama administration, corporations that were doing business with the government were basically blackmailed into saying, if you want to do business with us, you have to have in place policies that will promote and actually support gender reassignment, homosexual coverage and benefits for homosexuals, and all of that type of stuff. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. The government is demanding this. And this was one of those things that kind of goes, unreported. And it is a part of how they bring everybody on board. It is how they bring everybody into the swamp. And I'm just going to tell you that even though we know who the enemy is, because we have direct enemies and then we have indirect enemies, right? One of our direct enemies is China. One of our direct enemies is Mexico. Mexico is doing everything they can to allow their citizens to come up here to undermine us. But we have indirect enemies like these corporations, and these indirect enemies go much further than what one would think. It's not just these that are actually plotting in social media and so forth. There is a large, reaching, and I'll just call them the results of policies that have been coming out of the secular, godless, government and so forth. It kind of goes back to that article. I really need to finish this article to provide you with an academic insight of just how America went from being a Christian nation or a republic of Christian nations, because every state is considered a nation. And within a republic, all of the states are independent and sovereign, and every single state in the republic were Christian, in this republic very specifically. And so, how did we go from that to becoming a godless secular nation? And it's really interesting. I don't necessarily go into all of the process and everything else, but the fact is that when you look today, and I've mentioned this before, and I actually have a list. I think it's like 30 some odd doctrines. If you look at evolution and creation, every doctrine that you would consider a doctrine of Christianity, secularism teaches and espouses to your kids the antithesis and an opposite doctrine that contrasts and actually conflicts with Christianity. And so, if you think your kids are okay because you take them to church every Sunday, and I'm going to tell you that unless, that is one heck of a church, it is hard and almost impossible to overcome the church of the secular state, because their Sunday school is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday school, as I've been saying. And so there's this huge, huge, elaborate network of indoctrinating and taking everybody. And that's why these polls are coming out that America is becoming far, far less Christian. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of my friends who work, and I mentioned this yesterday, family and friends that work in the medical industry, there are more and more people that are checking into hospitals that have no religious inclination or no affiliation. You know how, if you ever had a surgery, you go in, what is your religious preference? Because, if you're Catholic, they want to make sure if they kill you that so they can get a priest in there real quick to give you your last rites, and that type of stuff. And I'm being facetious and sarcastic, of course, but there are reasons why hospitals do that. And so they actually have a great litmus test of where this nation and this and our society as far as its citizens are going. And so getting back to, you know, this lack of corporate virtue, this lack of morality, and not only just that, the fact is that these companies are either participating directly in trying to move, just like we've heard about Google and so forth, but there are corporations that, even though they may be sitting in the back wind, you know, like Boeing and BAE and Lockheed and all the rest of these companies that seem like, oh yeah, they're good patriotic companies, I'm going to challenge you on that, because they are embracing and they are being the silent embracers of these types of policies in helping promote. They are literally paying for the growth of the swamp and the growth of this godless secular church. So anyway, as we start looking at these indirect enemies, it kind of makes you start rethinking your, hopefully I'm challenging how we think when we look at companies and go, you know, maybe we should rethink how we hate Walmart and how we hate Kmart and Sears and those types of stores, because, or those types of retailers, businesses, and so forth. And so I think it is important that we kind of go back and reassess who we thought our enemies were, because Walmart was accused for destroying local communities. Heck, Walmart is really a benign corporation in contrast to a lot of these other activist corporations that are buying up and just consuming everything and everyone. And so I just wanted to rail on this for a while, because I think it's really important that when we start doing business on the web, when we start going out in town, when instead of buying something on Amazon, maybe we do need to start taking the time and actually going back into Walmart or those brick and mortar stores and start supporting them. Because why not support those who are more aligned in helping us than those who are actively working to undermine and destroy us? It's almost tantamount to just sending money to China to say, hey, can you create more military stuff so that, you know, we can have a war with you soon? You don't do that. And so why would you continue to support these companies that are proven to, you know, try, and their whole intent is to undermine our constitutional republic, especially Google, Amazon, Apple, these social media sites and so forth. We need to start thinking, because when we spend money, there are consequences. Spending money is just like voting, and there are consequences to voting, and there are consequences to where you put your money and how you spend it. And so I learned this lesson a long time ago from my father when I bought a Beatles album. So it was, you know, I was in the process of getting a haircut, and I had bought a Beatles album. And as I was sitting there, you know, with the Beatles album, my father started asking me, you know, do you know where the money that you paid for that album is going? And he starts explaining the lifestyle and so forth. And I learned a very valuable lesson at that point of how my money is being used to either undermine our principles, undermine my values and so forth. And so anyway, I thought that it was a valuable lesson that maybe I should share with you as well. I do know this, and before I get into the next thing I want to get into, which is the guarantee clause, and there's actually, as I was talking to Keith Borders the other day, or actually it was today, there is an association to the 17th Amendment, but I'm not sure if you're aware, but if you haven't noticed, it seems like the Democrats are facing a cleansing. And the question is, you know, are they going to finally get the purification that they really need? In other words, are they really going to get rid of Pelosi? Are they really going to get rid of Maxine Waters? Because their hyperbole and their disdain for the Republicans and so forth just isn't good enough. What they need and what the Democrats, the core far left, is looking for are poster children for communism. And if you didn't know, I mean, and I've said this before, go look at the Democratic platform. Go read it. It's online. Just look at the Democratic National Platform and tell me that that is not a today's view of how Karl Marx and Engels's Communist Manifesto could be applied throughout the utopian government of communism here in America. That is literally what you are looking at when you look at the DNC platform. And so I'm at a hard break, obviously. I didn't see that coming. But let me finish this thought on this purging, because I honestly think that in the next couple of years, the Democratic Party is going to have a fresh new face, because we're starting to see it right now. But we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so let me kind of close out on this, because I think what we're seeing, as I've commented before, it seems like more and more tickets are being lost to the mainstream or the typical leftist Democrat, and they're being replaced by real card-carrying communists. So the question is, as they go through this purification and as they go through this this change of the guard, and here's an irony for you, if you really want to understand the Democratic Party, and there was this old, I don't want to say an old saying, but there's this saying, the young man says you are what you eat, old man says you are what you wear. And it seems like that has reversed now, because it seems like the Democratic Party or the youth look has nothing to do with what you eat or being healthy. It has everything to do with trying to have a good, fresh, youthful appearance. In other words, it's the outward appearance that is more important of their image, and they're becoming far more materialistic in trying to control the narrative and their image and so forth. And I find it ironic how they have changed their tactic from the 60s culture counterculture revolution to today, a pure outright communist revolution. And so Not sure if you notice these ironies as well, but I will say this, that the Democrats, as they make this purge, the question is the Republican Party and are the conservatives ready to start actually working in a message and bringing over the union workers so that you can actually start waking some of these people up and bringing them out of the Democratic ranks, because as they purge, there's going to be a lot of people I'm going to be associated with communists. I don't know about that. And so there's a huge opportunity to probably pull 20% out of the ranks, if not maybe more than that, out of the ranks of the Democratic Party, because a lot of them are union workers. Now, the teachers union, they are communists. But there's a lot of guys. And as a matter of fact, I interviewed in my local show a steel worker that I'm not convinced that he's necessarily a card-carrying communist. He's a Democrat, and he loves the union. But I'm not convinced that he is going to necessarily embrace, because there's a lot of Democrats that aren't willing to embrace that. And they may find, a home in what we would call the Republican Party. So here's the challenge. If the Republican Party doesn't move, instead of changing its ideology to become a bigger tent, and they do not move in centering on the Constitution and the fundamental principles of that, instead of worrying about trying to bring, because when they try to become a larger tent, what they end up becoming is a larger cluster of tents, because you get these union workers that have their union agenda. If they bring in the women's Republicans, young Republicans, all of these different factions within the Republican Party, and as they start pulling in more factions out of the Democratic Party, it's just a big, huge cluster of tents, a cluster of factions, if you can understand that. And so what the Republican Party has to do is they have to center themselves on the very simplistic message of individual liberty, individual sovereignty. Your tents and your factions aren't welcome here. We don't need to focus on that. What we need to focus is individual liberty and sovereignty and the Constitution, centering on that. And in doing that, they actually may be able to appeal and keep what I would say the conservative ranks, because what ends up happening when you have this big influx of union workers and people that want to cling on to some of those ideologies, you will end up splitting the Republican faction again. And this has happened twice before. In 1971, the Libertarian Party left because they didn't think that the conservatives were conscientious enough about individual liberty. And it was the same thing with 1991 when the Constitution Party left, because they said, you know what, you guys have no focus and you do not care what's happening to the Constitution. And so we had two parties that have come out of that. The question is, will there be a third party that comes out of the Republican Party, or will the Republican Party wise up and actually focus and purify itself on the simplicity of the Constitution and actually go after a merger and kind of an acquisition of the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party? It could be a huge opportunity of unification on the fundamental and the simple principles of the Constitution. I just think that when you see all of these bad things, there's typically a great opportunity for meaningful change. And so can the Republican Party do that? I don't know. Anyway, I thought it was worth throwing it out there so that you could ruminate and cogitate on that. As Florence starts coming ashore, I wanted to cover this too, because we've been hearing a lot about build the wall and how that message is getting lost. There was no funding for that at the fiscal year-end budget and so forth. As Florence is coming ashore, and I was thinking, just think of all the past deadly hurricanes and the damage that's been done. What if technology, we got to a point where next year we could start building walls that would stop hurricanes? I wonder if Congress would pay for it or not, because the left, And the progressives in Congress would go, no, 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 we don't want to pay for that because we should be punished for all of this man-made climate change. We should have to face, you know, the consequences of the way we're living. And there are those ideologues that would do that. And it's the exact same thing, though. And I'm just trying to create the similarity and the irony that it doesn't really matter what is really best for us. It seems like the left is always doing what is worst for us. And this goes back to a conversation I heard between Tucker Carlson and Brit Hume. And Brit Hume doesn't think that the leftists really hate Americans. And I think Brit Hume doesn't understand the wiring of the left, as I've been calling it. They will do anything and everything to further their cause, and they do not care. They have no humane interest or compassion towards their fellow man. It is about meeting and obtaining the ends of their goal. Now, let me get to the guarantee clause. As you know, and as I said, the guarantee clause is a part of Article 4, Section 4, and that's where the United States guarantees that every state be Republican in form. And this whole Sherman Compromise, the Connecticut Compromise, and the geniusness of that in creating and recognizing that there are two constituents, because clearly the states are sovereigns, and clearly by putting the states into a sovereignty and it creating a representation within Congress, that was pure genius, because what it did was it created kind of a balance and a distribution of power, roles, and responsibilities for the people's representatives as well as the sub-element of government. And when I say sub-element of government, if you look at the National Republic, which would be, you know, all of the states together, the states are divided by states, or I should say the Republic is divided by states. That is the sub-element of the Republic. Inside states, they have sub-elements of government as well. They're called counties. And so we have these tiers of sub-elements, which are truly constituents. Madison talks about two constituents in Federalist Paper number 10, and he even kind of talks about constituencies of the states and the people in Federalist Paper number 46 as well. And yesterday I read out of Grayson, and I don't know if Grayson happens to be, you know, because he sounded like an idiot back then. He may be related to that Florida congressman, because he kind of sounds like an idiot too sometimes, right? Anyway, my point is that it seems to me that if you do not understand bicameral legislative the role of the bicameral legislative process, then it is important that you do, because your state, the state that you're living in, unless you happen to be living in Nebraska, has a bicameral legislative body. And the question is, because in a Republican form of government, that means that it is a representative form of government. And in American Republicanism, we recognize the representation of two people or two constituents, two entities. It is the people themselves and that sub-element of government, because that sub-element of government has their fingers on a pulse that understands, you know, the ill effects, or, you know, the throughfare of commerce. They understand their resources. They understand the management of resources, where the normal person and the people do not. The normal person and people understand the effects of war. They understand the effects of, you know, the direct taxes. They understand the effects of, you know, those basic things that they are dealing with. But they do not understand at the more complex level what the counties are dealing with, what the states are dealing with. And that's why there was this body called the Senate. And it actually kind of aligns with, if you understand the old Roman Empire, the Senate was a representative of the states, not necessarily a representative of the people. And so As you can tell, I'm at a hard break, but I want to kind of close on this and give more into how this kind of relates to that 17th Amendment and why these two constituencies are very important in getting back to that and how to get that back to that. So anyway, we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So getting back to the Guarantee Clause and the ill effects of the 17th Amendment, the 17th Amendment took away the representation of the states and the Senate. They have lost their, not just their suffrage, not just their ability to vote, but their ability to actually have a control, just like we the people have a control over our Congress people. And that's even questionable if you actually look at the swamp and you look at what Congress is doing. They're not accountable to the people. And if you've seen, you know, The Swamp done by CRTV, those four episodes, you understand that, you know, there are people that kind of try to still be accountable to the people, but they're not. They're accountable to lobbyists. Our federal government has been consumed by global corporations and globalists and lobbyists. And so the states have completely lost their control over the Senate. The reason being is there's that old saying, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And so because the states are no longer responsible for selecting their representation in the Senate, and it goes to you, the people, globalists can throw millions of dollars into each of these Senate races and make sure that they get exactly who they want to keep furthering their cause. You should probably watch that CRTV, The Swamp, so you can kind of understand just how corrupt the government really is. Now, the states have the exact same problem. The counties have lost their representation because we have created a unicameral legislative body under two bodies in both our U.S. Congress as well as the states. Because the counties no longer have an apportionment, or I should say they do not have the control and the appointment of their senators. It is a general election, and they no longer represent the counties. They represent the people. We have completely lost sight of the Sherman insights of American Republicanism, where we actually have two different constituents who understand the needs at different levels for our government and what our government should be doing for us. And so they knew that if we left it to the people, because Madison and almost every single framer and even people today will tell you that the electorate is just a bunch of idiots. And that's true, folks. That's why we need to get back to actually having a Senate leading an understanding, because at least those representatives at the county, our county commissioners or whatever your state may call them, that are the legislators for your county, they at least have a better grasp on what the heck's going on than your local electorate, because 9 times out of 10, like Madison said, they're illiterate and they're ignorant towards what government needs to do and what they need government to do. So they allow government to actually start creating this indolent and entitlement society and class and so forth, so that they can, you know, somehow get some stipend from government. And it is all destructive, because all of these things add up to the capitulation of a republic. And that is the formula. So anyway, there are some real opportunities. And I know that the Constitution Club, if you haven't joined that, if you haven't gone out to check them out, go check them out and join. It doesn't cost anything to join. Go look at who's in your state and go look at who you can start, you know, communicating with and getting active, getting involved. Because I know the Constitution Club is all in, and I know they sent out an email last night, I think, out to every single legislator, representative in the state legislation of Utah. I believe the next round of emails is going out to the state senators. Then I believe they will go to those other 6 states, Georgia and so forth, and actually, you know, appeal to them to no longer comply to the 17th Amendment, that they have the ability and they have the constitutional grounding because of the 5th article of the Constitution protects them, that they don't have to lose their suffrage in the Senate. And so hopefully we can actually see some states starting to go down this path and pursuing this. However, there is a mechanism, and I want to brush over this, and I'll probably get into this in more detail down the road, but there is a mechanism of going after a whole bunch of states to force Congress and to force an awakening of the two constituents, as well as an understanding of a Republican form of government, that Article 4, Section 4, by Congress, and getting Congress to acknowledge and understand that it is their responsibility to define this so that America, so that this republic will actually start living and abiding by the Constitution. So here is just a small list of states that I've put together that I truly believe the county commissioners within these states could actually go down the path of pursuing a constitutional amendment and or splitting the state, because the population centers in these states are literally dragging the states into financial ruin. Washington State is one, Oregon is one, California is one, Utah is one, Nevada is one, New Mexico is one, Colorado another, Illinois, Indiana, Tennessee, Kentucky, Minnesota, Michigan, Georgia, Louisiana, even New York and Massachusetts. Now, there's plenty of other states that could easily be split up so that you could start protecting, the red counties could protect themselves from the destructive policies that these population centers are doing. So Mayor de Blasio can literally destroy New York, but he doesn't have to drag down the rest of New York State. And that way, you can get rid of Cuomo and the rest of the progressives in Syracuse. Make New York become its own island, literally, as, you know, like Singapore, where, you know, New York City is its own state as well. And so it seems all of these states I just listed are great potentials of isolating, and then by creating this huge wave of a shift towards towards the landscape within Congress. Because if you understand, if all of these states pursue splitting up, it would create a huge need for, let me see, I'll count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. That's 17 states I just listed. That means that there would be 34, at least 34 seats added to the Senate, and it would shift at least 34 representatives to represent these states at a minimum. Now, some of these states, like California, if it gets divided up in several states, then, you know, it would really change a lot of those seats in Congress to where there wouldn't be so many Democrats coming from California anymore. These types of things, my friends, if you understand the fundamental principles, if we get back to just some of these principles, it would change the landscape of the United States from a red, or I should say from blue capitals and a blue national federal government towards a really more red conservative and actually more little r Republican form of government. And that would be a good thing. Now, what I was going to do, because I was hoping I still have time, I wanted to read this quote, because I have several quotes that I wanted to get through that Madison and John Marshall and so forth. And all of these seem to be a little bit longer than the 2 minutes that I have because, yep, I am in my last segment. I wanted to confirm that. Time flies when you're back behind a microphone like this. So one of the things you can do, if any of this starts to make sense, one of the reasons why you may want to join the Constitution Club is so that you can start getting engaged, because they're literally working in supporting getting Utah and these seven states that have not ratified, they have failed to give consent to losing their suffrage. These states can actually stand up and take their suffrage back. Another thing that, and talking to Keith, another thing that I honestly think will be kind of, you know, the next obvious thing for the Constitution Club on this is start targeting the state legislatures in 2019 when the new sessions start. And, oh, by the way, Keith, if you didn't know, if you're listening, by the way, because none of these states are in session, all these emails that you're sending, because some of these people won't be in office, you may want to release these again in 2019 when they actually start their sessions. And by doing that, you can also have a whole bunch of emails ready to go for Wyoming, Oklahoma, and so forth, and point out to them that Delaware was a state that chose to change, rescind its rejection, and, you know, ratify. And if one state can change its how it received, whether it rejected or whether it ratified that amendment, that means that all of the states can now change their mind, because we have a fair and a legal system, a court system that allows the door to swing both ways. They do not have a one-way door that, nope, you can only accept and we do not allow you to reject. So if they're allowing people to change their mind from rejection to acceptance, then they will allow, they have to allow states to go from accepting to rejecting. And I think that will give us more than the states we need to actually unratify the 17th Amendment. And so I am G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic. And with your help, we will continue to do these good things. Thank you so much. God bless. And I'll be back tomorrow. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.